John chapter 6, verse 47, the Word of God says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. As we continue in our look at John's Gospel and our study of that Gospel, we continue to look through Jesus' sermon regarding the bread of life. Now, when we look at that, we come back and we begin it at verse 32. So from verse 32, continuing on to where we are this morning, we have been looking at one sermon that's been preached by Jesus. Now, it's kind of difficult to put together a sermon based on a sermon. That's what I've been doing as we've been going through this. But at the same time, we've been teaching about this sermon. And that's what I want you to grasp and understand in all of these, that Jesus is, in all of these messages, Jesus is preaching a message to the people at Capernaum, to the general public, and to the Jewish people, to the Israelites as well. And He continues on in this message with the bread of life and how important that is and how the folks there need to understand it and how we need to understand it today. We need to have a true spiritual grasp on the bread of life. But also there's a lot of little things that are tied into this sermon that we need to pay particular attention to. Especially Jesus' use of the phrase, "I am." Now you may remember from previous messages, Jesus uses that phrase, "I am," and it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. When God said, "I am that I am." Jesus is the I Am, the great I Am. He had came, He was born of the flesh as a man. He was man and God in one body. Now He is telling the Israelites and the world as a whole that He is the bread of life. And it is a message that demands attention today in the 21st century as much as it did in the first. People haven't changed. There's no difference. Oh, our technologies may have changed and our appearances may have changed. Our languages may have changed. But as who we are as people, we are still born of the sin nature. We are still born separated from God. We are born lost and undone without a Redeemer, without any redemption in Jesus Christ. We haven't changed any. That's what makes this message so important. That's what makes it so necessary in your life and in my life. And you may say, "Preacher, I'm already saved." It has much more to say to you than just salvation this morning. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," it speaks so many volumes into our lives. And we can all walk away this morning knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior and being content and being comfortable in the fact that we can constantly and daily get closer to Him and live closer to Him, live in more obedience to Him, and be a vessel that He can use to give His message to the lost and dying in this world. The Lord always finds a way, if you notice in His messages, to use the most common everyday items of life as a basis for His sermon. Here He uses bread. Other places He has used water. Other places, farming and shepherding and carpentry and orchards and vineyards. These are all staples of life. The great Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, said that if another prince were never born in the world, He would never be missed. But if another farmer were never born, we would all soon starve. The common, everyday, run-of-the-mill things that we all take for granted are the things that God places the most authority in. They are the things that the Lord used to speak to people. Common, everyday, ordinary things that folks took for granted, Jesus used as a word picture to explain who He was, to explain the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Well, with that understood, this bread that Jesus speaks of is an illustration of a bread that is important in our lives. It not only meets our physical needs as food, as substance, but there are symbols of it meeting spiritual needs too. For instance, if you know your Bible this morning, you will remember that bread is spoken of as leavened and unleavened. One speaks of a life that has the consequences of sin, and one speaks of a life that doesn't have those consequences. But bread is still the subject used to illustrate it. Bread is necessary as a food in that it shows how Jesus works miracles in people's lives. Remember the bread and the fishes? He used the miracle through the bread and the fishes to feed the multitudes. And to give that as a picture of His miraculous power in meeting our everyday needs. Think about your everyday needs. Not your wants. I'm not talking about what you want, what you'd rather be doing. But what your needs are. So, well, I go to work and I work every day and I get paid and I take that money and I pay my bills with it so I meet my needs. No, you don't. God meets those needs. If God did not give you the strength to get out of bed, you could not go to work. If God did not bless you with the job that you have, you would have nowhere to go. If God had not worked in your life to provide an employer that would pay you what you're being paid, you would not have the ability to purchase anything. It all comes back to God. It is God that meets the needs in our lives. So, one last note that I find interesting. When we talk about physical bread, there are very, very many recipes. And they're all delicious when it comes to physical bread. There are sourdough breads. There are German breads. There are Italian breads. There are wheat breads and white bleached flour breads. The list goes on and on, but they're all good. But there's only one bread of life. And that's Jesus Christ. If you've got salvation in your heart this morning, there's a place to say amen. Because He is your bread of life. So armed with this information, there's three things that I want us to notice in the text that we've read. First, notice the divine provision of the bread of life. God's gift for fallen man is Jesus Christ. We are born a sin nature. Whether you want to think of it as a sin nature, whether you want to think of it as depravity, we are born into it. We cannot earn salvation on our own. We cannot choose salvation on our own. We do not have that authority and that right and that privilege in our life. We have to be called into it. That's what Jesus says. And we'll cover into that just a little bit. Jesus calls us. If you're saved this morning, you are saved because the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, touched your heart one day, and you stepped out, stepped forward, and you counted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You asked for forgiveness of your sin, you repented of your sin, and you let Him come into your heart. But had Jesus not called you through repentance, through the Holy Spirit, you had no intentions, no desire, no thought of being saved. Now, to better illustrate that, remember the day you accepted Jesus Christ. Whether it is a morning service, an evening service, whether it was at home, wherever it may have been, whatever that situation. Did you walk into that day, that service, that evening, whatever it was, did you walk into it planning to get saved? Did you walk into it and say, this is the day I'm going to accept Jesus? Or did you just show up to worship? Did you just show up because you believed in God? You believed in Jesus. You wanted to know more about Him. And as you learned more about Him, He touched your heart. And He called you and He said, come follow me. And you did. The provision of the bread of life is Jesus Christ, and He is God's gift to fallen man. Jesus, as the bread of life, is used as an example of a sustaining life. Jesus not only calls us to salvation, Jesus not only affords us with salvation, Jesus not only writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but Jesus keeps us. He keeps our salvation. He keeps us saved. We have faith in Him. We believe in Him. But He sustains us. I said earlier that the message had much more and was much broader than just salvation. And it is. Think about where you're sitting at today and where your walk with God is today. What is Jesus asking of you in your life today? What has the Lord been asking of you through conviction for days or weeks or months? And He is saying, I want you, whatever your name is, fill in the blank. I want blank to be doing this. He leads us. He guides us. He directs us. He encourages us. There should be no greater encouragement in our lives this morning than our relationship with Jesus. Now, you're an encouragement to me as a congregation. And I hope that I am an encouragement to you as a congregation. Others are encouragements to me throughout the association and throughout the brothers and sisters in Christ. They're all encouraged. I love all of them. They encourage me in many ways, and I hope I do them as well. But the greatest encouragement that I have in my life is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because He provided something for me that no one or nothing else in my life has ever been able to touch. That is salvation. And from that salvation, I have found a walk with Him that can grow daily through His provision. Through His gift. Well, not only is Jesus a bread that sustains a life, an eternal life, but it is a bread that never spoils. You know, when we bake bread, there's nothing that smells better than fresh baked bread. But you know, if we don't eat it, it'll spoil. It'll turn stale. It will mold. It'll have to be thrown out. The bread of life never does that. The bread of life spiritually in our lives, it never grows old. It never grows stale. I hear people talk often in their relationship with God, and they talk about church and they talk about going to church, and you would think that it was the most miserable thing on the face of the earth to them. How can Jesus grow old? How can Jesus grow stale? I don't understand that. I don't understand how he can grow old, how he can grow stale. I understand frustrations. I understand disappointment in people. I understand how we can set our sights and our thoughts on other people and they can disappoint us. And I understand how I can disappoint them. But to look at Jesus Christ and to say that he's growing old and he's growing stale in my life, I can't say that. Because he can't. He never grows old. He never grows stale. Look at verse 50. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He shall live forever. It comes from heaven. Jesus is divine. He is pre-existing. Jesus was there before the beginning, and he will be there after the end. When we go back and we look back over some of this message, some of the Bread of Life sermon, we see where the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they only recognized Jesus to be the son of Mary and Joseph. That's all that they would account Jesus to. Is this not Mary and Joseph's son? We watched this kid grow up. And now he says he's the son of God. The Pharisees are saying, yeah, sure, what gives? But we know, and they knew. They knew who Jesus really was. They knew that he was who he claimed to be. And he still is who he claims to be today. We can say yes, but all we want to. We can say what if and what was all we want to. But when it comes right down to where the rubber meets the road and the words of Jesus Christ is, we're either going to take him at his word by faith and believe him based upon what he says and the evidence that's given in God's word, or we're not going to take him at all. We can't have a little bit of Jesus. We're either going to have all of him or none of him. And I think that's a very blatant point that has to be made in Christianity today, because I firmly and sincerely believe there's a teaching going around the world that's saying that, well, you can cherry pick what you want out of the Bible and apply it to your life. And you can have this much of Jesus or this much of Jesus. Pick this and don't pick that. Choose this and don't choose that. No. It's all or none. That doesn't make you better than or worse than anyone else. But it is a point that comes out that says that if you have Jesus in your life, he should never be stale. He should never be old. He is a bread that will never grow old. That doesn't mean you won't have problems. It doesn't mean the devil won't come and confuse you. Doesn't mean that you won't have questions. But it does mean when it comes to Jesus, you will know the relationship that you have, and that relationship will mean something. It will be a provision. Next, we see that there is a divine purpose of the bread of life. What did Jesus come to do? What was his purpose? Well, we can go all the way back to verses 37 through 40. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him that sent me. In verse 39, this is the Father's will, that those which he hath given I should lose nothing. And this is the will of him that sent me. In verse 40, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Remember when I said earlier that Jesus will call you? Remember when I gave you the little remembrance of your salvation? That when you walked into church that morning or that evening, or you walked into the house that evening, you didn't say this was the day I'm going to get saved, because it was the day that God had chosen to call you. And there it is. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. If God had given you over to Jesus Christ and you were called into repentance, and when you were called into repentance, you will receive. When you came forward, when you believed, when you confessed, when you followed the principles of salvation, it was God's doing. Eternal life for all who believe. It is a purpose of completion through redemption. Until you're saved, until you're born again, do you realize your life isn't complete? Folks that are walking around today and don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their lives are incomplete. They're searching for things. They're searching for fulfillment. They're searching for a spiritual moving, for something greater than themselves. And if you have Jesus this morning as your Lord and Savior, you have the only thing that is greater than you, and the only thing that is greater than anything else that is created, and that is Jesus Christ. He is your completion. Your service to Him in the church and through the church is part of that completion. We talk about serving the Lord, and we talk about church jobs, and we talk about these things. Church jobs are not created in order to give us a title to hang around our neck and make us impressive to someone else. That's not the purpose of a church job. The purpose of a church job is to give us responsibility in proclaiming the gospel. Salvation gives you the responsibility of proclaiming the gospel. We are all ministers, every one of us. You may not be called to preach or to sing or to teach, but you're a minister. If you're saved, you're a minister. Now, how is that being played out in your life this morning? Jesus is the bread of life. How is that bread of life being spread through you to those around you that need it today? Are you seeking and desiring to do His work and to do His will in your life? Are you sincerely looking for that opportunity to find out what He wants in your life? Because He does have a gift for you. He has gifted you in something. And He has gifted you in that particular area in order to meet His desire, to meet His determination, to meet His great commission. You have a purpose. It is your completion. It is what He has established you to do. You're not here just to work your job and pay your bills and pay your tithes. That's not. If all Jesus wanted was material things, He could create them. When He said outside the temple that if He needed to, He could raise up the stones to praise Him and glorify Him. He has the power and the authority to do that. If material things was all He needed, He could make those happen. He could bring the lights on with no power lines coming to the building. He could cool the building with no air conditioning. He could heat the building with no heat pump. That's nothing. He created the earth and the stars and the trees and the universe. He created everything that we live in and everything that we live around. And so material things would be nothing for Him. He has established you in the position that you're in this morning in order to be a vessel to serve Him so that He can work through to touch other people. It's the completion for the commission for carrying forward the gospel. That's what we're here for. We're all born of a sin nature. We're all born separated of God. And we, the church is the voice, the arms, the feet of Jesus. And it is our job to communicate and talk to those who don't know Him. To let those folks know that there is something greater than them. That there is something greater than the government. There's something greater than the bank accounts. There's something greater than the sports teams. There's something greater than all of that. And that something is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And His purpose is to redeem people, is to save people from their sin. And our purpose as the church is to be the vessel that He works through to introduce them, introduce the lost to Him. Well, last this morning, there is a divine promise of the bread of life. So, what happens because of Jesus? Well, a relationship with God the Father through the Son. That's what happens. We are redeemed. Redeemed means to purchase. If you are saved this morning, you are purchased. You are purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are redeemed. Sin and the consequences of sin has no hold on you this morning. That doesn't mean you won't sin. That doesn't mean you won't fall short, because you are still flesh and blood. You are bone. You have temptations. And rest assured, if you're saved this morning, the devil is going to take advantage of those weak points. He is going to tempt you. He is going to try to confuse you. He is going to try to convince you that, well, you know, you really don't have to do this. This is not your job. You've already done your job. Don't you worry about this. It's not my job and your job. It's God's work. It's His work. What happens because of Jesus is we do the work of God. And we do it as the opportunity presents itself. That means one day we may be waiting on and helping someone in a homeless shelter. We may be carrying something to the car for someone out of Walmart. We may be just listening to someone talk about the difficulties and the trials they're going through. We may have an opportunity to offer to pray with someone. We may be able to encourage them to come to church. We may be able to encourage them to open their door for someone from church to come visit them. What happens in your life because of Jesus depends upon your obedience to Him. There is a security and a confidence and a peace that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. There is a greater level of security, a greater level of confidence, a greater level of peace that comes from being obedient to Jesus. Knowing that He is working through me oftentimes is all that's needed to get me through the day. When people are causing issues and problems in life, when troubles are abounding all around, when trials and tribulations and temptations are seeming to be overwhelming. And then I think about my redemption. I think about my salvation. I think about my calling. I think about my purpose. I think about the confidence and the security and the peace that I have through Jesus Christ. And that's all that's needed. Do I fail? Absolutely, I fail. I fail God every day. Some days I fail Him miserably. But that does not mean He doesn't love me. That doesn't mean my salvation has been taken away. It does mean that my confidence and my peace and my security has been questioned by me. It means that I have made it vulnerable. But I also know that because of conviction and at times chastisement of the Lord, I have a loving God that's calling me back. He's calling me back and He's saying, come back, repent, learn from this, get it behind you, and let's move forward. The promise is summed up in verse 51. Notice with me, he shall live forever. There isn't anything in this life that's going to hinder that. If we have loved ones that have gone on, they're alive, they're living forever. Because they knew Jesus. If we live forever, if we have that security of eternal life, it is because of Jesus. And only because of Jesus. We will not experience spiritual death. Our soul is the only part of who we really are. This body is just a temple. It's just a house for it. This side of eternity. The real you is the soul that lurks underneath. And that soul has either found a home in heaven with Jesus because of Him, or it hasn't. So this morning, as we get ready to close our service, as our musicians come and prepare a hymn of invitation and closing, the invitation is twofold. It's twofold this morning. First of all, if you're not saved, this is an opportunity, if God's calling you, to come and accept Him as Lord and Savior. And second, if you are saved and you've not been living the purpose or the promise of Jesus Christ in your life, and He isn't the provision of your life that leads and guides and directs you, this is an opportunity for you to come and get that right with Him. Don't worry about me. You can't make anything right with me or through me. But you can come and make it right through Him. That's the altar call this morning. That is the closing of the service. How will you leave this building? Will you leave this building knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and walking with Him and living for Him in the way that He wants? Will He be your provision? Will He be your purpose? Will He be your promise? Are you going to be leaving this building more obedient to Him? Only you and God know where you need to be. So as we sing this morning, if God's dealing with your heart, will you come, ladies?